Hello. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. This is Professor David Lewis, Assistant Professor in the Exegetical Department in New Testament, and I will be presenting the reading from the Book of Acts through this Easter season for Easter 2. This is Acts 5, verses 12 through 32. Acts 5, 12 to 32. So beginning at verse 12. Dia, ton, keron, ton, apostolon, through, by means of, dia's expressing means here, by means of the hands of the apostles. Agenita, notice the imperfect here. They're used to occur, they're used to happen. Semeia kai terata pola, many signs and wonders, and to lao, among the people. Kai eison hamathu madan, apontas, ente stoe solomontas. And they were of one accord. They were of one mind. They were together, apontas. They were all together in the porch of Solomon, in Solomon's porch. Verse 13, tonde loipon udes et tolma kalas theautois, and of the remainder, of the rest of them, I guess, no one dared to associate with them. And of the rest, no one dared to associate with them. All but emegalunen autas halaas. But, notice the subject here is at the end, halaas. But the people praised them, or the people held them in high regard. And then this is shown in the verses that follow. Malinde pros etithenta pistuantes to curiu plethe andron tekai gunaikom. And more, notice the passive imperfect, this is pros etithenta, is an imperfect passive voice. And more were added to those who believe to curiu in the Lord. Pistuo takes the dative as its direct object. So, and more were added to those who believe in the Lord. And then sort of in apposition, you have a multitude of both men and women, the tekai, a multitude of both men and women. So more were being added to those who believe in the Lord, a multitude, a crowd of both men and women. Verse 15, hosta kai estas pleteas ek therein tus asthenes, with the result, even, into... And then plateas is technically an adjective. It means wide, but here it's substantized as a noun. The wide places, the streets, with the result that even into the streets to carry those who were sick, and tithenai to set upon, and probably set them, those who were sick, upon clinarion kai krabaton, upon cots and pallets. Hina erkumeno petro kan he skia episkiaste teni auton, in order that, and you can take this present participle maybe as temporal, in order that as Peter came, or maybe it's sort of even conditional, if Peter should come, even the shadow, and this would be Peter's shadow, might fall, might overshadow some of them. And so Peter's held in such high regard that when he walks by, that they bring the sick out and lay them on cots and streets and on cots and pallets in the street, so that if Peter walks by, his shadow might come across them, with the idea that Peter's shadow, it's enough that Peter's shadow over comes over them, that they'd be healed. Verse 16, sun erkata de kai ta plethos ton Perix, Poleon, Jerusalem, and they used to assemble even, the chi here is more an adverb, so dekai, and they used to assemble even the crowd, and then there's ton, Perix, Poleon, Jerusalem, of the cities around Jerusalem, and they used to assemble the crowd, the multitude of the cities around Jerusalem, bringing asthenes, bringing sick people, and akluminos hupa pneumaton akatharton, and those being troubled or harassed by unclean spirits. And so Luke here uses unclean spirit to refer to demons. That's Mark's favorite way of referring to demons. But, of course, here in Acts, Luke isn't copying Mark if you're inclined to go with the four-document hypothesis. Last words, hoitenis, ethera, apuanta, apantas. And notice you've got this another imperfect. Luke is using a lot of imperfects here to talk about what used to happen habitually on a regular basis at that time. And ethera, apuanta is passive. And so hoitenis and whoever and... And so hoitenis, I think, is referring back to the asthenes and the akluminos, hupa, pneumaton, ekarthaton, who were healed, all of them, literally. Who were healed, all of them, all of whom were healed or used to be healed. And so this is what habitually used to happen at this time. And so this paragraph, verses 12 through 16, give us a picture of what was going on in Jerusalem in the church, where the apostles are performing signs, many signs and wonders among the people, where they're hanging out at Solomon's porch. And although some people are afraid to associate with them, nevertheless, the number of those who believe continues to be added. The people in general hold them in high regard. And you've got this picture of people bringing the sick into the streets so that Peter's shadow might even overshadow them and heal them. And people from outside of Jerusalem are bringing the sick and the demon-possessed to Jerusalem, to the apostles, and these people are being healed. And so notice that the semeia kai tereta pola mentioned in verse 12 especially seems to refer to the healing of those who are sick and the casting out of demons. Okay, now we get the reaction of the religious authorities in verse 17. And so verse 17, Anastas de ha archaeus kai pantes hoi sun auto. And so the participle aorist. And so after he got up, or many translators say, and getting up, or after he got up, the high priest and all those who were with him. And then we have an apposition, he usa, he risis ton sadukai om. And so who are those who are with him? Well, namely, those being the religious party of the Sadducees. And then, Lesuthan Zelu. So after they had gotten up, they were filled. And notice this is a passive of the verb pimplemi. They were filled, and so a genitive is used to show what they were filled with. They were filled of jealousy, or they were filled with jealousy. And so notice here, Luke is making it very clear that what's going to happen, the reaction here is not necessarily a concern about heresy, but it is jealousy, envy. It's, you might say, the reputation that Peter and the other apostles have is what's going to motivate the high priest to do what follows. So verse 18, Kai Epebalon tas kaires epi tus apostolus kai athanta autus en terese de mosia. And they laid hands upon the apostles, and they put them in, literally, you've got in the prison, and then the adjective de mosia, the common, public, and they put them in the public prison. So this is a reaction. They're filled with jealousy. And they have the apostles thrown into jail. Okay, verse 19. Angelus de, but an angel, courier, but an angel of the Lord, dianuctus, through the night, anoixas tas thuras tes thulakes. So here we have one participle clause. What the main verb is actually apen at the end of the verse. That's what the angel said. But after he opened the door of the prison, and we have another participle clause, ex agagon te autus apen, and after he had led them outside, said, verse 20, quote, paruste, go, kai stathantes lalete en to hiero to lao panta ta remata tes zoes tautes. Go, notice the present imperative may be emphatic here. Go and standing, speak, notice again present, maybe here inceptive, begin to speak in the temple to all the people the words of this life. And some translations might sort of see this as a Semitic sort of genitive, these words of life. I've often, you know, these words, or it's these words, these the words of this life. And I've seen that some translations might say these words of life, but the words of this life. And kind of interesting here. The apostles are set free, but then they're told to go and do exactly what it was that got them into trouble in the first place. So, and that's something to talk about later. And so you might say here it's mission first, and they're to go back and do what they were doing before, speaking the words of this life to the people. And now the words of this life refer to the euangelion, to the message about Jesus Christ, who was crucified, whom God raised and exalted, and now in whose name repentance for the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. And in that repentance for the forgiveness of sins, you find life. And so people are being called into the new life of the gospel. Okay, verse 21. Akusantes de eis elthon hupa tan orthron eis ta heron kai didaskam. And so aorist participle. And after they had heard, they entered hupa tan orthon, literally under the morning, but kind of idiomatic for it. They entered in the morning into the temple and... notice the imperfect, and I take it as inceptive, and they began to teach. And so the angel releases them, gives them a command, and they obey that command. And so they're back where they were before, before they're arrested, teaching the words of this life, or these words of life, the gospel. Para genomenos de ha archierus kai hoi sun auto. And so we start with the participle. And after they had arrived, or after he had arrived, the high priest and those who were with him. This would refer back to that the party of the Sadducees. Suna kalesan ta sunedrion kai pasan tain gerusion ton huion Israel. They called, they called together. they assembled the Sanhedrin and all the council of the sons of Israel. And so they're starting an official council, in their official council meeting in the morning. Kai apestelain eis ta des moterion octenai autus. And they sent into the prison to bring them out. And so these guys are unaware at this point that the apostles are in the temple. And so maybe ironic, maybe you've got a crowd at the temple. Everybody else knows what's going on, but these guys are clueless. And so they come in thinking the apostles are in the prison, unaware of the miracle that took place in the night. Verse 22, hoi de para genomenoi huperetai uk huron autus ante thulake. But the officers, and notice the attributive participle, paragenomenoi, the officers who arrived did not find them in the prison. On a strepsentes de apengalon, so the participle denoting action that took place prior to the main verb. The main verb is they announced, and after they returned, they announced. Verse 23, saying, legantas, quote, hate, quote, ta desioterion huron, we found the prison, keklesmenon, notice the perfect passive participle, locked and passe asphalia, locked in all security, Kaitus Thulakes Hestotas Epi Ton Thuron, and the guard standing at the door. And then we have aorist participle, anoixentes, de. And after we had opened, eso udena huron, we found no one inside. Notice the miracle here. The angel led them out. There's the doors are locked. Guards are standing outside, so this is a true miracle. And this would explain why nobody seems to know what has happened, except for probably the people who are now at the temple listening to the apostles teach. And then hos de ukeson tus lagus tutus hate strategos tu hieru kai hoi archieres. And as they heard these words, and here the two parties, both this is the captain of the temple guard, the chief magistrate of the temple, or the temple captain of the temple guard, and the high priests, as they heard this word. And then the main verb of the sentence, dia parun, notice again, imperfect. They were confused, periauton, concerning them, tion genetoi tuta. They were confused concerning them. And then this tion genetoi tuta, notice tion plus the optative, literally might say, what might happen this, what this might happen, what this might be. Now, this is translated, let's see, the NIV renders this, what would come of this, and the ESV, what this might come, something like this, what would come of this, what would be of this, what this might come. In other words, they're confused, as you would obviously expect, and wondering what's happening. And then verse 25, paragnomenos de tis, and after he had arrived, someone, apengeleon, announced autois to them, hata idu hoi andres hus etheste ante thulake. And so the men whom you put in the prison, eson ento hiero, are in the temple. And then I take these next two participles as attendant circumstance, here with ami is a verb of non-motion, are in the temple, hestotes, standing, kai didaskentes, ton laon, standing and teaching the people. And so, obviously, these people, the chief priests and the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the officers, although in charge of the temple, they don't seem to be aware of what's actually going on there. Verse 26, tata apethom, and then after he went out, hoi stragategos, sum tois huperestais, the captain of the temple guard with the officers, after they gone out the temple, the captain of the temple guard with the officers, egen autois, led them, and autus here is probably the apostles, he led them, and then Luke adds, u meta bias, not with violence. And so he led them back, but not violently. Why? Well, efubontagar, for they were afraid, tan la'am, they were afraid, they feared the people, me lithosthosim, we have this subjunctive here, not, you know, notice it's a passive subjunctive, that they would not, they would be stoned, literally not, they would be stoned. And notice the text critical note here, you'd expect a henna before the may lithosthosin, you know, henna expressing a purpose. Why did they lead them without violence? Or for they fear the people in order that they would not be stoned. The henna is read in A.C. 1739 in the majority text. It is not read in Aleph B. D. E. 33.1175. Probably it's more likely somebody would stick a henna here than remove it. And so I'll read with Nestle Island here without the henna. And it may seem a little awkward, but it seems to be expressing the same idea. This is the explanation why they lead them without violence. They're afraid of the people in order that they would not be stoned. They're afraid the people would stone them, and so that's why they do this peacefully. Okay, verse 27. Agantes de autus. And after they were brought in, or after he brought them, after they brought them, they stood them anto Sunedrio in the Sanhedrin in the council. Kai epero tesan autus ha archierus, and the high priest questioned them, 28, saying, quote, U paragagia paregelamem humem. And so notice the cognate accusative expressing the dative case, because the verb takes the dative. We instructed you, we commanded you an instruction, we commanded to you an instruction. Me didaskem epi to onomati tuta, not to teach upon this, on the basis of this name. Kaidu, and behold, peplerokata tain Jerusalemain tais didakes humom, kai buleste epagain f humas ta haima tu anthropu tutu. And so we commanded you not to teach on the basis of this name, the name of Jesus. And behold, notice the perfect, you have filled Jerusalem of your teaching. Notice this is a plerao in the perfect. It takes the accusative to express what is filled, in this case, Jerusalem, the city. And then it uses the genitive to show what it is filled with. And here it is, your teaching. And notice they refer to it as your teaching. And you wish, and this is from Epago, you wish to bring upon us the blood of this man. And so this is their charge. You fill Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're trying to bring upon us the blood of this man. And notice this might seem like insurrection, like, you know, kind of some sort of rebellion. I mean, it's challenging their authority if they accuse them of killing Jesus. So you might understand politically why they might be concerned. Then Peter and the apostles answering said, so notice Peter's name prominently as a spokesman, but it is basically he and the apostles who are speaking. And then this is a famous off-quoted verse, per pe tharkein de theo malon e anthropois. So de with the infinitive. It is necessary to obey God more than man. So it is necessary to obey God more than man. And this is then often used when discussing church and state relations. You know, it's better for, you know, Christians need to, you know, do what's right, even if it's against the law, and then, you know, discussions of civil disobedience. But here, of course, the obedience is not so much to some moral command. You know, some moral command like, you know, fighting injustice, but it's really just basically coming down to proclaiming the gospel, teaching the word of God, the words of this life to the people as they've been instructed. That's the issue at stake here. The priests are saying stop it, and Peter's saying we can't. It's better, I mean, it's necessary to obey God more than men. So in spite of whatever lawful authority you guys may have, you can't tell us to stop doing this. And then now we're going to get, you know, some kerygma here proclaimed to these priests. So, ha theos ton pateron hemon, the God of our fathers, egeren iezun, raised Jesus. And so God raised Jesus from the dead. Han humes dia kerisaste kremasantes epi zulu. This Jesus whom you, and notice the use of humes makes this more emphatic, whom you yourselves killed by, and I take this as the participle kremasantas, by hanging him upon a tree. You killed, whom you yourselves killed by hanging upon a tree. So notice Peter, they said you brought his blood upon our head, and Peter's not disputing that at all. He's basically coming and charging them, yeah, you killed him by hanging him up upon a tree, a reference to the crucifixion. You guys delivered him over to the Gentiles, to Pilate. He killed him, but, you know, the blame is upon these chief priests and the party of the Sanhedrin. 31, tutun ta theos. So this guy, in the accusative case, God, and notice the main verb is hupsosin, later, God exalted, And then in between we have this, these two accusers joined by Kai, right here with the sense of as. Archagon as leader, Kai Sotera as leader and savior, Te Dexia, Autu, at his right hand. Okay, so this guy, Jesus, God, exalted as leader and savior to his right hand. Why did God do this? To dunai, probably a purpose, article infinitive, in order to give metanoiam to Israel, to give repentance to Israel, kai aphason harmartion, and the forgiveness of sins. And notice this is the purpose that you find expressed all the way back in the beginning of Luke. You might think of the Benedictus of Zechariah, which he sung at the birth of John the Baptist, at the naming of John the Baptist, after John is named, Zechariah sings forth, and he's looking for God to be faithful to Israel. And one of the things that needs to be answered is repentance and forgiveness of sins needs to be brought to Israel because of Israel's, you know, ongoing sinning and rebellion against God. This then is what John the Baptist preaches. And then in the end of Luke 24, this is what Jesus says his apostles will do. They will preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins to the nations. And here, and at this point in Acts, while the apostles are in Jerusalem, it is Israel itself that is, you know, receiving this message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. That in Jesus, God has been faithful to his people. And his faithfulness here is shown that he's addressed their rebellion, their sins, by giving them the means by which to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. And that's based in Jesus, whom God has now exalted to his right hand as leader and savior. He's both Lord and savior. And so faith in him, faith in Jesus, is then the basis upon which repentance for the forgiveness of sins is brought. And this is why the disciples, the apostles, are preaching Jesus in Israel, in Jerusalem right now. Verse 32, last verse of this text. Kai humes esmen martyres ton rematon tuton. And notice emphatic, humes, you don't need it. And we ourselves are witnesses of these words. And here rhema could be not just words, but of these things, of these matters, of all of this stuff. You might say, you know, think of the ministry of Jesus back in the Gospel of Luke from its beginning. You might say with the promise of Gabriel, with the annunciation of John's birth and then Jesus' birth through the ministry of John the Baptist, their birth, the ministry of John the Baptist, Jesus' ministry up until this point. Rhema is probably referring to all of this. So we ourselves are witnesses of these things, of these matters, of these words. You know, these are the guys who were with Jesus. Kai ta numa ta hagion, we are also witnesses, Kai ta numa ta hagion, we're witnesses, and so we ourselves are witnesses of these matters, and the Holy Spirit, whom edokin hatheos, whom God gave, tois paitharkousin, out to those who are obeying him. And so we ourselves are witnesses of these words and the Holy Spirit whom God gave to those who obeyed him. And the attributive participle paitharkousin, same time as the main verb, edokin, whom God gave to those who obeyed him. That would be referring to Pentecost and the reception of the Holy Spirit by the disciples. Do the disciples obey him? You know, we always like to bring out how faithless they were, you know, on Monday, in relationship to the Good Friday event, but nevertheless, Jesus told them to remain in Jerusalem and await the power, await the gift of the Father, they'd be clothed with power from on high when the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes upon them. And, yeah, they obeyed. They waited, and the Spirit came upon them. Okay, this is the text. If you were to continue reading beyond verse 33, you'd see how the high priests want to kill these guys. And then we get Gamaliel's famous speech, which gets the apostles off. Our text, several paragraphs, verses 12 through 16, present what was going on at that time in Jerusalem, the esteem that the apostles had among the people, and all these many acts, all of these many signs and wonders, these acts of healing. Verses 17 through 21a, the first half of 21, you get the plot of the priests to imprison the apostles and how that's quickly undone when an angel releases them and sends them back to the temple to preach. Then 21b through 26 is sort of the high priest response. When they come, they find the temple empty, and so they send the captain of the guard and the officers out to bring them back to the council. And then 27 through 32, you might say, is sort of the first phase of this trial in the council, where they're charged with, you know, basically disobedience. We told you not to teach on the basis of this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you want to bring upon us the blood of this man. And then Peter and the apostles respond to that charge. Number one, we ought to obey God. It is necessary to obey God rather than men, and so to obey God means we have to defy what you guys are saying. And then they get to the matter. You know, the name is Jesus, and the reason we're going to teach on the basis of this name is that the God of our fathers, Yahweh, raised Jesus from the dead, whom you, and then the charge is you're trying to bring their blood upon his blood upon our heads. Yeah, that's right. You killed him by hanging him on a tree. In other words, his blood is upon your head. You authorities are guilty of this. God has exalted this guy, Jesus, as leader and savior at his right hand in order to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. In other words, this is God being faithful to his people. And again, this would say this is why we can't stop teaching in his name. We got to do this because this is God acting through this message to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And then the reason they're doing it, verse 32, and we ourselves are witnesses of these matters and the Holy Spirit, which God gave to those who obeyed him. And so rather than obey the high priest's charge to stop teaching in that name, Peter and the apostles basically here give their case for why they need to continue to preach in that name. We are witnesses of these things. We're the ones God has called to tell this. God has acted in Jesus by raising him from the dead and exalting him to his right hand. And what God is doing in Jesus is he's giving repentance and forgiveness of sins to his people Israel. In other words, he's answering the problem spoken way back in Nehemiah 9 and the prayer of the Levites at that rededication ceremony, where the people acknowledged their sinfulness. That's why they had fallen under foreign oppression, because they had rebelled against God by building idols and false worship. That problem has been answered in Jesus. God is giving repentance for the forgiveness of Israel's forgiveness of sins to Israel on the basis of Jesus' name. And so if this is what God is doing, then in the end it is necessary to obey God, not men. And so the apostles here are really willing to face death at the hands of the high priests rather than to stop teaching in Jesus' name. And this kind of goes back to the angel. The angel saves them, but rather than them going free and hiding in safety, they're sent back to the temple to continue this teaching. When I was in the Army, I remember the two mottos were, number one, mission first; number two, welfare of the soldiers. We used to complain that the welfare of the soldiers should be number one, but that can't be the case in the Army. The mission comes first. You have to be concerned about the welfare of the soldiers, but nevertheless, the soldiers are there basically to risk their lives in service in the military. And if you join the military, you know that you put your life on the line simply by signing on. And so mission always comes first before the welfare of the soldiers. And you see that is sort of happening here, is whereas the angel releases them and doesn't say go hide from the authorities. No, go back to the very place where they found you the first time. Do exactly what angered them and caused them to arrest you the first time. Mission first. This is the time when God is giving his word, his gospel, to his people Israel. He's being faithful to them, and so the apostles are called to be faithful to him in continuing that work. And so for us today, we have the same message, calling people to repentance for the forgiveness of sins on the basis of Jesus, whom God raised from the dead and exalted to his right hand as leader and savior. We're in a different context than in Jerusalem. We have to think about whatever context we are, wherever we are. This is our context, and there may be those in our context who are also hostile to this message. Nevertheless, our charge as pastors and teachers is to be faithful to this message about Jesus and to know that this message actually is the message of life. It is what they need to hear, including those high priests. This is actually the message they need to hear. And it's through that message then that God calls people to repentance and gives them the forgiveness of sins. Thank you.